Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Any Christians wanting to go to Tonga?
Uh-oh, no. Tonga's great.
It's a Christian monarchy, Doug McBurney, in the Pacific, South Pacific.
Yeah, love Tonga.
Magnitude 8 earthquake, well, magnitude 7.9 earthquake.
Oh, wow.
And there are tsunami warnings out, so hopefully.
Well, I hope everything's okay.
And yeah, we hope so. But maybe we can't go to Tonga.
Maybe we can't go to Tonga.
It's been a dream.
It's been a dream of ours for a long time. Well, it'll be interesting
Christian
to see.
Monarchy.
It'll be interesting to see how a Christian monarchy handles a natural disaster.
My friends used to go once a year to Tonga for a birthday party for the king.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they were entertainers. And he enjoyed them, and they'd go. Anyway, Doug McBurney, welcome to Bob Enyart Live.
I brought with me today.
Yeah.
I brought with me some audio that I think you'll be very excited to hear.
Oh, really?
Yes, very much so. I think that maybe President Obama is listening to your show. I think
Obama to Bob Enyart Live.
Yes, he quite possibly is listening
on KGov, the internet,
yeah.
KGOV.com.
By the way, the number to call.
It's government. KGOV.
KGOV. The number to call Mr. Obama is 1-800-836-9278. If you do want to call in and give us your views, that's 1-800-836-9278.
Why would you say Obama was listening to this show?
Well, wait till you hear the audio. It's definitely nothing he could have picked up listening to Rush or Sean Hannity or anything like that.
Oh.
But it's something that I think you'll be really excited to hear.
All right.
Now, we talk a lot on the show about you shall not murder.
Do not murder.
God's enduring command, do not murder.
Right.
Today, I'd like to cover a couple of different topics.
All right.
In a similar vein.
Yeah.
You shall not steal.
You shall not steal.
Yeah. And you shall not commit adultery.
All right.
Okay.
Those are three of the four commands in the Ten Commandments for a government. Don't murder, don't steal, don't commit adultery, and don't bear false witness.
That's right.
Against your neighbor. So do not steal and do not commit adultery.
Those are two of the topics that we're going to touch on in the program today. But I think we should start with the audio. Or what do you think?
Well, where is the audio from?
Well, the audio is from a recording of a telephone call that apparently...
Oh, this was Obama?
Well, do you remember...
After he landed, Air Force One, he calls the New York Times back.
Yesterday's show, you were talking with David Horowitz.
David Horowitz,
and
just yesterday.
You mentioned this very topic to him.
I mentioned that whenever, like David Horowitz, when he complains about the Democrats, usually whatever he's saying is true of the Republicans.
Yes.
Not only him, anybody.
Yeah.
For the most part. So Obama called... we talked about this
briefly.
We
have secured the audio. The actual telephone.
He called the New York Times back.
Right.
And
because
said,
they had asked him if he was a socialist. You know, some people are saying you're a socialist.
It's so funny, Doug. They asked him if Obama was a socialist, which of course he is.
Of course he is.
And okay, you got the audio?
We've got the audio.
All right.
And let's roll with it.
Just one thing that I was thinking about as I was getting on the copter, it was hard for me to believe you were entirely serious about that socialist question.
There it is.
I did think it might be useful to point out that it wasn't under me that we started buying a whole bunch of shares of banks. It wasn't on my watch. And it wasn't on my watch that we passed a massive new entitlement, the prescription drug plan,
without any
source of funding.
Socialist.
And so I think that it's important just to note when you start hearing folks throw these words around, that we've actually been operating in a way that is entirely consistent with free market principles.
Consistent with Bush.
The same folks who are
come out the bushes
throwing the word socialist around can't say the same.
Right. So whose watch are we talking about here, sir?
Well, I just think it's clear that by the time we had, by the time we got here, there already had been an enormous infusion of taxpayer money into the financial system. And the thing I constantly try to emphasize to people is that if coming in the market was doing fine, nobody would be happier than me to stay out of it.
Right.
All right, all right. Yeah.
That was Dick Cheney just tapping into his phone right
yeah.
there.
Yeah, so, Doug, we have...
So the number to call, folks, 1-800-836-9278. There you hear it from right from the horse's mouth himself.
Yeah.
That he was agreeing with... Now, he wouldn't mention Bush by name.
That's funny. He said a prescription drug massive entitlement program...
Massive.
It had been... Who did that? Abraham Lincoln?
I don't think it was Lincoln.
Eisenhower?
Harry Truman? No.
It was
George
Bush.
W. Bush.
George W. Bush.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said they started buying the banks, in the banks, massive infusion in currency and in money to the economy.
Right.
That's TARP, the bailout. So Obama, his defense of not being a socialist is that, look, Bush is a socialist.
Right.
George W. Bush is a socialist. Why are you asking me if I'm a socialist? And it's so funny because... He's, of course, furthering all these godless socialist economic policies
destructive policies.
The Republican Party.
Yes, he is.
Of George W. Bush, Republican Treasury, the whole bit. Mm-hmm. He's furthering it all. And when they ask him, well, so isn't this all socialist? He says, no, this is what Bush did.
Right, as if Bush couldn't possibly have been socialist.
No. So it is.
It's just so funny.
It's funny.
You know, it's scary to listen this week. There's all this uproar about the AIG executives getting their bonuses.
Yeah.
And this has taken the attention of the entire administration. Meanwhile, North Korea is getting ready to launch a missile that the Japanese have said, hey, we're going to shoot it down. I mean, that's big news.
That would be fun, too.
That would be so neat to watch.
That would be fun. You could almost get popcorn.
Yeah.
And sit and watch cable news.
But the fact that our...
For the launch.
The fact that our government and the entire administration is completely caught up in this controversy over a bunch of businessmen who scammed a bunch of morons in the government.
Right.
I mean, it's just scary.
It's absurd. Oh, and by the way, if Japan shoots down, this would be exciting. We've talked about missile anti-ballistic
hitting
missile defense.
With a bullet. I remember the liberals all said, don't waste your money.
You can't hit a bullet. And of course, turns out you can do it, and we do it.
Well, we've never done it, though, against an actual bad guy.
Live.
Right. In real time.
We haven't. But, when the liberals were against the anti-ballistic missiles and Star Wars and all, but all we had to explain to them is that, could you imagine the ecological disaster an endangered species would receive from a direct atomic nuclear hit, say on Los Angeles? So we tried to sell the missile shield based on protecting human beings.
Ah, but we forgot.
It was a wrong approach.
Liberals don't like human beings.
Right. We should have talked about snail darters and jumping mice.
Spotted owls.
Yeah, the condor. Could you imagine one nuclear strike?
Could wipe out the condor for generations.
Right. And that's how the liberals would have been protesting in favor of anti-ballistic missiles.
Well, wait a minute. I think that the liberals loved the communists more than they loved even the endangered species.
Hmm.
So you have to keep that in mind.
That's a good point.
That they did love the communists.
And if Japan shoots this down, it will be thanks to the U.S.
Oh, I think it's going to be...
This is our technology.
I think our guys actually man the things.
I think so.
I think we at least orchestrate and oversee the application.
Yeah.
They've got Stinger missiles, and they've also got some missiles on some ships there in the South China Sea. Hmm. And they're just afraid that... You know, the North Koreans are not known for accuracy in their missile launch.
so
if it's going to get too close,
Japan is ready. They've said, we're ready to shoot it down.
Right.
If it comes within a couple hundred miles of our airspace.
But I've seen not a mention of this on national news broadcasts night after night, but all they talk about is this AIG. Somebody stole a bunch of money from a bunch of people who stole a bunch of money from a bunch of other people who stole all that money from us.
Right.
And everyone's shocked that they're stealing the money.
Right.
Come on.
Right.
Anyway.
So some good old-fashioned news. The communists are shooting a missile, and we want to shoot it down.
I mean, that's
good old American fun.
That's good. That's real news.
Real news.
All right, now, I want to
So that was Thou Shall Not Steal, right? The Obama is a socialist.
Right.
Socialism is wrong, not because it doesn't work well.
No.
But because it violates God's command, do not steal.
Right.
You don't take money from some people to give it to others. And socialists don't just take money from the rich and give it to the poor. They take it from the middle class, the poor, the struggling, and they give it to people who are better off.
That's true.
Like the senior citizen prescription drug, billions and billions of dollars
right.
entitlement program that George W. Bush introduced. And who's better off, Doug McBurney? Young families with kids or senior citizens?
Generally, the senior citizens have all the money.
Generally. Yeah, so it's generally. A massive transfer from those who are more poor
right.
to those who are more wealthy. But socialists don't care as long as it's a transfer, because then they get a cut and they get to control. They're control freaks and thieves.
Right.
So God said, do not steal. So George W. Bush is guilty of the TARP, of the nationalizing the banks. And
I think he's responsible
for
the original AIG bailout and the Citigroup bailout.
Yeah.
Yeah,
go all the way back.
But now Obama has got some of his own stuff. He's got his own stimulus that he did.
Yeah.
You know, so he just learned
from... He's guilty, too.
He learned from George Bush.
Right.
Who learned from...
So those who think that we're in trouble because the Democrats got in office, those are really silly people.
Yeah.
Very politically naive
yeah.
and have a hard time understanding principles like right and wrong.
Like, don't steal.
Don't steal, don't murder... Don't commit adultery.
All right. Now, on don't commit adultery, Bob, let's
yeah.
go to that. You remember Noah Webster. I was actually homeschool my daughter.
Hmm.
So we were going over the way Noah Webster took the English language and he Americanized it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's really interesting to sit with your 7-year-old and learn history again and learn about how the English language developed here in America. Well, the Webster Dictionary, Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, apparently has decided to resolve the argument itself over whether the term marriage should apply to same-sex couples or be reserved only to people of the opposite sex. Mm. It's simply written a new definition in the new version of the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
They've redefined marriage.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and the new definition references marriage, and I'm reading from Bob Unruh's article off WorldNet Daily. Great website, by the way.
Yeah, and great reporter, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Used to be with the AP. The Associated
right?
Press?
And he repented.
He got so disgusted. he repented. And he now writes for Joseph Farah at WorldNet Daily.
Yeah.
And well, great articles, too.
And he says, Merriam-Webster's new definition references marriage as the state of being united to a person of the opposite sex as a husband or wife. But the definition also includes, quote, the state of being united to a person of the same sex in a relationship like that of traditional marriage.
All right.
That's the new definition. So I guess the debate is over.
You've got to run that by me again.
The state of being united to a person of the same sex in a relationship like that of a traditional marriage. That's the addendum to the definition of marriage in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary.
Yeah, that's a tragedy. You know, Massachusetts, their state Supreme Court ruled that not allowing homosexuals to get married is a violation of their constitution.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, and it's a despicable ruling, the Goodridge opinion, and I read that. It was issued back in 2003 when Mitt Romney was governor.
Right.
Oh, and by the way, he enacted homosexual marriage, not the Massachusetts Supreme Court. They said that they thought it was unconstitutional to deny homosexuals
married. They gave their opinion.
And they are very legalistic over there, and they say, we as the court, we cannot change the law. So they never mentioned the governor in the whole ruling. He doesn't come up.
Uh-huh.
He's not mentioned. They said that the legislature should review the marriage statutes as they may deem necessary.
Okay.
So they were telling the legislature, we cannot force you to, but we are telling you that you should review the statute.
Okay.
So Mitt Romney, as the governor, he went ahead and ordered homosexual marriage licenses to be issued.
He took it upon himself.
He took it upon himself.
To take the advice of the Supreme Court.
Right.
He didn't involve the legislature.
No.
He did it himself.
Yeah, he did it himself. He enacted home. The Massachusetts Supreme Court said, we think this is wrong. Now, they're godless.
Yeah.
They're immoral. They're wicked. They're perverse.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't enact. In fact, they acknowledged they don't have the ability to change the law. I don't know why they said that.
Well, they're legalists.
Yeah, and I mean, generally true. A judge can't change the law, but I can't believe they restrained themselves.
Yeah, that is surprising.
They're not being activist judges.
Right.
But Romney,
at least not active enough for Mitt Romney.
Right, but Romney and Ann Coulter are forcing them to be activist judges.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
They said, no, they had a dream about it one night, and that's it. We got to implement it.
Oh, no.
So they're implementing. So anyway.
And you know, he is, apparently, it seems that he's the leading candidate to be the Republican frontrunner in the next 2012
election. He won the, was it at CPAC, the Strava? Where was it?
He won a poll
He won a poll.
Yeah.
And CPAC. You know what that stands for? That annual meeting of conservatives. You know what CPAC stands for? Stands for absolutely nothing. CPAC stands for nothing.
I was trying to figure out
just
the initials.
In case. Conservative.
Yeah, something like that. Stands for nothing.
Yeah,
stands I like
for
that.
Nothing.
Listen to this, Bob. Back to Merriam-Webster quickly.
Yeah.
Bob Unruh uncovered a dictionary version from 1913 where the definition says marriage is the act of marrying or the state of being married, legal union of a man and woman for life as husband and wife. Marriage is honorable, it says. And then it quotes Hebrews, and it quotes the book of Matthew, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary from 1913.
That's 1913 at home for our kids. We homeschool, and we have the original Noah Webster, 1828, I think it is.
Oh, yeah?
The original dictionary. So even 100 years later, almost, they were still making biblical references and definitions.
Because that's where the concept came from,
marriage
right?
Marriage comes from God, and he revealed it to Adam.
He revealed it to the
Massachusetts state government, too. Guess what the Goodrich opinion says? It says this. Civil marriage is a creation of the state.
Well, that's a lot of chutzpah there, boy.
That is.
I tell you what.
That is. Come on, the guys are coming over on the Mayflower.
Right, that was before the Massachusetts government existed.
Yeah, and some of them were married.
I believe so.
So what state invented marriage in Massachusetts? God instituted marriage when he created man and woman.
Yeah.
He made them male and female, Adam and Eve, not Steve. And God instituted marriage.
Good point.
So anyway, it's perverse.
Despite what Massachusetts legislator or judges might think.
Yeah, and homosexuality is way more destructive and dangerous to our young people than, say, Islamic terrorism.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, our Republican Party promotes homosexuality. They promote it. And they're on this war on terror, which they should do both.
Yeah. The game of life. Are you familiar with the game of life?
From when I was a kid.
Yeah, yeah.
The game of life.
We have it.
It's a board game.
Yeah, we play it with our kids.
Our kids play it.
Do you know that was the first game created by the Milton Bradley Company back in the 1860s?
Must have been back when there was a guy named Milton Bradley.
There was actually a guy. That's probably the game he came up with. Anyway, the game of life has a new online
version. First game.
Yeah, that was their first board game. Mm. Well, that was 140-some-odd years ago, 150 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Well, welcome to the 21st century. There's now an online version of the game, which in and of itself is not a bad thing. But at the beginning of the game, you get to pick who you are in the game of life, similar to the board game.
Yeah, because you're a guy or you're a woman.
Yeah. And you could be married, you could have various careers and things like that as you go through the game of life. Well, the new game, available online to young children everywhere, allows you to choose your life partner. If let's say you're a man and you decide you want to choose a man as your partner, it gives you that option.
Yeah.
And it also gives you the option to adopt children should you choose a what is the politically correct term? A same-sex relationship.
Mm.
You can actually choose to adopt kids. In the new 21st century version of the game of life, they should call it the game of death.
The game of death.
The game of Russian roulette.
We have, over the years, done our best at Bob Inert Live to try to re-stigmatize homosexuality. But that's when we first went on the air, almost 20 years ago.
Yeah.
And it was so obvious that homosexuality was coming to such a firm center stage acceptance that Christianity would be pushed in the closet.
Yeah.
And so at Bob Inert Live, our effort was, and if 10,000 Christians would have done this, pastors, talk show hosts, authors, we could have prevented the devastation. Millions of lives have been destroyed.
Yeah, we're living in it.
Millions
of it right now. We're
in America,
right now.
A million people have suffered tortured deaths because of the perversion of homosexuality. Around the world, over 10 million tortured deaths. And so we try to re-stigmatize or continue the stigma on homosexuality.
Yeah.
Because there's a stigma on things that are destructive often, naturally, and there's a gag reflex.
Right.
Like kids, if they see putrid flesh with maggots in on the forest, on the ground, kids don't go over and start licking it.
No.
Generally.
No, they don't.
No, because they're going to gag. They're going to throw up.
Yeah, they have to restrain themselves from barfing.
It's a gag reflex.
Right.
God gave us,
it protects
the
us.
Gag.
Yeah.
And so you've got homosexuals who have been, you know, with a thousand different tactics pushing homosexuality to be accepted. But even today, after it is so utterly accepted, such that Christianity on primetime TV, the Christian is the freak, is the murderer, is the suspect, and the homosexuals are the heroes, you know, but now the homosexual could be the bad guy too because of how confident they are.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But if even today, if you're in a crowded restaurant for lunch, you've just eaten, and there's two homos sitting at a table, and they're gazing at each other, and they go to...
making googly eyes at each other.
And they go to...
Oh, no, don't say it.
You know,
you want to lose your lunch.
You're going to lose your lunch.
Even a very politically correct corporate executive who institutes a rigorous plan of diversity in his company, if he sees that
he
at a restaurant...
might, if he's just eaten...
even he...
a large meal.
He's gonna,
He might
lose it.
He might.
Or he's at least going to have to swallow really hard and look away.
Yeah, it's almost make me sick.
See, that's what one of the things that first attracted to me to your broadcast and your ministry was the fact that here's a guy who's still willing to say homos make me sick.
Sick. And so what happened, God gave us that gag reflex, and homosexuality was so disgusting in the mind of virtually the entire population.
Yeah.
But a constant, constant wearing down, mocking of God's word. Mm-hmm. And the reason the culture promotes homosexuality is not because Bill Clinton likes to hang out with homos.
No?
No.
Okay, well, explain it.
When he was elected, I went on the air and said, well, there's something we could be thankful for.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right.
He likes women.
At least he likes women.
At least he likes women.
He really, really likes women, but he likes women. Yeah.
Right. So...
but here we are now.
Here, so the media and the culture, it's not that they really love homosexuals. That's not it. They know intuitively that if homosexuality is accepted, Jesus Christ is rejected. Homosexuality inoculates children against the gospel.
Mm.
So when kids learn in their public schools, take your kids out of the public schools. When kids learn that homosexuality is good and mom and dad really don't know what they're talking about, and look at me, aren't I your favorite teacher? Mm. I'm a lesbian.
Uh-huh.
And so then the kids realize that the Bible is bad, that Jesus Christ is history, and that it's all wrong. And so that's why the culture promotes homosexuality, and that's why Christians should have fought to keep the stigma on it. There's a stigma against child pornographers today, right? True?
There still is, yes.
What if Focus on the Family started to try to remove the stigma on child pornographers? That would be absurd. They'd never think of it.
I would think that they would never think of it.
No, right. No. They wouldn't. But when it came to homosexuality, they worked to remove the stigma because they want it to be liked and accepted and appear reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
And so the stigma protected 100 million young people from the perversion of homosexuality.
And now that stigma's gone. And, it's interesting that you point that out because it always goes back to your famous axiom. As other conservative talkers and reporters and journalists struggle with the questions of why do liberals act the way they do? Why do they do these things? And it all comes down to because they hate God.
They hate God.
And
it's not that Obama can't figure out that welfare destroys generations of blacks.
No, he knows that.
It's not that he can't figure that out. It's that he hates God. God said, do not steal. And Obama says, oh, yeah, watch me.
Yeah.
Watch me. Let's go to the phones in Denver, Colorado. John, you're on with Doug McBurney and Bob Enyart.
Hi, Doug. Hi, Bob.
What's up, sir?
Yes, I was just thinking too myself when you guys were talking about the homosexual agenda.
a few years ago, I heard something called Gays for Palestine. Gays and lesbians for Palestinian for the Palestinians. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, doesn't Sharia law say that homosexuality is a capital crime?
What a great point, John from Denver. Yeah, and that's so typical, right? The liberals, the professors who promote the Muslims.
That's right.
They'd be lined up and killed.
That's right, under Sharia law.
It's really weird.
It's a bit schizophrenic, indeed.
Yeah, it's a bit weird. So the new life game online.
Yeah, but I got another story.
Yeah.
Now, this is not surprising. Now, the game of life thing, that's a little bit shocking to me because, you know, Milton Bradley and the board games have always seemed so family-friendly and, you know, that was a little bit shocking. This is not going to shock you in any way. I got this from MSNBC. The Obama administration has decided that it will endorse a UN declaration calling for the worldwide decriminalization of homosexuality.
Wow.
Yeah, that's according to the Associated
Press. So the decriminalization of homosexuality.
Universal.
Did Dr. Dobson co-sign that? Is he a part of that?
Because, I think he signed on to the Equal Rights,
concern,
not Special Rights.
Yeah, Concerned Women of America, all the big Christian leaders, they came out back in the early 90s.
Right.
Equal rights for homosexuals.
Not special rights,
no,
but
equal rights.
Equal rights.
Now, that was the majority of the gay agenda right there.
That's
that
what
was
they
the
really
majority.
Wanted, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They wanted to be accepted, and they wanted to be legitimized.
Right.
And so Dr. James Dobson legitimized homosexuality in the mind of the body of Christ by saying equal rights. Legitimized means to declare legally valid.
Right.
So now they want to regulate homosexuality and say, well, you can't adopt kids. Well, that, forget it. They won't even say that anymore.
No.
That was 15 years ago. That, now they say you can't get married. But all once you give in,
yeah,
once you reject Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul, and Moses, 3,500 years of Judeo-Christian legal authority that homosexuality is a crime, including in the New Testament. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and you say, you know what? I side with the homosexuals, Hollywood and Hillary, and the humanists. I, fill in the blank, major Christian leader, think homosexuality should be legal.
Mm-hmm.
You have lost it.
Now, Bob, you've been shouting this from the rooftops and in the wilderness for the better part of 15 years that I can recall.
Yeah, 18 years on the air.
How aware do you think the average Christian person who has funded these organizations for their entire adult lives with
monthly
support and pledges, do they realize how far astray?
The moral relativism, the humanism, secular humanism, the slide because there's no foundation. And so Tom Minery, the head of their public policy division at Focus on the Family, we gave a presentation to him a couple years ago, and we presented a law that they campaigned for, and he said, oh, we'd never support that. It's like, Tom, you did.
Oh, wow.
It was Amendment 2 in Colorado that you would have the right to not rent or hire homosexuals because they're pushing their lifestyle on Christians. You got an apartment upstairs. You don't want to rent to homosexuals. Amendment 2 would say you don't have to.
That's right.
It passed.
Mm-hmm.
John Roberts opposed it. He helped overturn it. And Tom Minery, Focus on the Family, he now opposes it. What a trip. Double-minded men. Doug McBurney, thanks for your time in the studio. Great show.
Good to be here.
Maranatha Christian Center, what a great school. God bless you all.